person that inspired hope in me. My first day of recovery, I was dope sick as fuck, and I went into a meeting, and I had no hope, was completely broken, had lost everything, and he 12-stepped the shit out of me. It was very little things, but he brought me to IHOP. He was the first person to give me a hug. I didn't know about the NA hug thing, and it meant a lot to me, man. I used alone, I was alone, I felt alone, because I'm fucking alone, and it really meant a lot to me. And now, you be in the convention with him, and him being a speaker, it means a lot for me to be here. I'm grateful, and I'm very happy to be here with Kyle, and I'll turn it over.
I'm Kyle, and I'm an addict. I'm going to try to speak up. I'm sorry if I trail off a little bit. I'm going to start off by saying I'm sorry if anyone gets offended from cussing, foul language, dirty situation. If you do, I'm sorry. Call your sponsor. Talk to me after. Whatever you need to do. Because when I get nervous, I cuss a fucking lot. And that's where I'm at right now. I'll start off with a little backstory. You know, I grew up in Germantown, Maryland. I come from a decent family. You know, I had a mom and a brother and a dad who all loved me dearly. And, you know, it was a great childhood until probably about, I was 10 years old, I think. And my dad started taking me out and letting me have a couple beers. And before that, my whole life I had felt like I was missing something. You know, everywhere I went, school, like, you know, the playground, whatever the fuck little kids do, I felt less than. You know, I felt like everyone else was cool and got along great, and I was just an outcast. And the second alcohol hit my system, I knew what I needed to do for the rest of my life to feel a part of. Because when I took that first drink, I was okay with me. I didn't give a shit what you thought, you know, and I knew that, you know, I was okay. And, you know, my addiction took off then. I remember as a kid stealing alcohol from my parents, you know, them trying to put water in alcohol bottles so I wouldn't drink their shit. You know, they tried to trick me into thinking I was drinking, but I knew better. And, you know, it really took off from there. My dad's an addict, and he started off with his struggles around the same time that I did. You know, I mean, he had always had struggles, but that's when it got bad. You know, he had a really well-off company, had money to play with, and between me being, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old addict and my dad being a grown-ass addict, we chased my mom out of the house pretty quick. And so from about 13 on, my mom was in and out of my life. She was down here in Delaware. This is where I spent my summers, vacations, holidays, everything. I came down here. And that's why this means so fucking much to me, man, because you put me in front of an ocean, I feel at home. Right. You know, so around 13 years old, I didn't have rules anymore. Having an addict for your only parent, you know, you got to learn your own way, kind of. You know, he was a good guy, had a great heart, always did what he could, but as an addict, you can only do so much. You know, I know that I couldn't take care of shit, including myself, let alone someone else. And, you know, from then on, I kind of just learned my own way, got into worse and worse drugs as my story progressed. You know, I was strung out, and we all know how to fucking get high. I'm not going to get long into my using story. I'm going to get basically to the pain, you know. By 16 years old, I had chased off every childhood friend I had. I had tried to, you know, have kids I went to elementary school with help me shoot up dope who had never even seen heroin before because I was too fucked up to hit my own veins. You know, no one wanted shit to do with me. These big family parties that we would throw weren't so big anymore. They were more like me, my dad, and my brother, sometimes my mom. And that was it, you know, and, By 19 years old, I had been arrested, you know, I had been in a psych ward, I had done the whole string of outside fixes aside from recovery, and, you know, moved around a little bit, gone to stay with family, switched schools, done everything I thought was right to get myself back on track, but I still had me there, and so I still ended up in the same fucking situation every time, and, it was probably the Christmas of 08. Me and my dad were at a dope dealer's house down in Frederick, Maryland. And we had just given this dude probably $400 for some dope and some coke. And the dude was complaining how he had no money to buy groceries. Now, I don't know why my dad... He was, like I said, he's a fucking great guy. He has a great heart. And so for some reason, he thought it was a great idea, as fucked up as he was, to take, you know, take this dude out to the gas station or wherever, get him something to eat. And he got arrested. You know how it is. You drive drunk. He crashed my Cadillac 3 times in one night. Some good Samaritan followed him after the first crash, watched him crash the second 2 times, and cops came. And so Christmas Eve, my mom drove down from Delaware, picked me up in Frederick, picked my dad up at Frederick County or wherever they had him. I don't remember. And that was when we realized we had a problem. You know, the arrest didn't matter. You know, the destroying our families didn't matter. The fact that no one wanted shit to do with me unless I had something for them didn't matter. But for some reason that night it clicked that there was something wrong. And I'll never forget that car ride home, man. It was intense, you know. I mean, we're all at each other's throats. So, to speed up the story a little, my dad was facing some time. He got another charge while he was out on probation or whatever. And he decided he'd try to beat the charges and go to rehab. And he left me $1,500 cash, said, "When I get out, I expect to have something to come home to." And about 2-3 days into his rehab stint, he called me. He said, "This is what we need to do, Kyle. I love you, buddy. Like, you need to get into rehab, man. We need to save our lives." So I said, being a good addict, I was like, "I'll wait till you get out." You know, "I'll wait till you get out." Because I had $1,500 cash. And, you know, I was a dope dealer for a good part of my recovery. Or, using, not recovery. That's a separate story.
Truth comes out.
But, yeah, so, you know, I was broke by this point, though. You know, I didn't have anything to sell. I could sell you a bar of soap broken up if you really were fiending and trying to trick your ass or something. But I didn't have shit, so $1,500 to me was it. I was happy, you know, so I used until the day he got out. He got out, and I'll never forget, I was so happy. I was like, "We're going to get clean together, this is going to be the fucking life." He got out, and me and him basically broke out into a fist fight as soon as I saw him, because he was like, "Where's my drugs?" I was like, "I got 2 Valium, dude, I don't know what to fucking tell you, like, here." And so I went into the psych ward once again, because they said that was the best way to get into rehab. And in there, I was introduced to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. They took me out. I remember I was walking down the hallway with my counselor, being like, "Nah, that shit's for junkies, man. You don't get it. I'm not a junkie." And she was like, "Dude, your arm is full of track marks. You're basically homeless and 19 years old. Like, you're a fucking junkie." I'm walking down this hallway with her. I'm like, "No, you don't understand. I'm not going." I look up. She was like, "You're already here." I'm standing in a room of NA, and I see all people like us standing there laughing, fucking talking bullshit, and I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was real. I was like, "These motherfuckers are either 1, not like me, or 2, all high as shit." And you know, I went to a rehab from there, heard about the steps, the traditions, went to a couple more meetings from there, and didn't take heed to shit. You know, I got out of that rehab, got high that day, and you know, I tried out going to meetings for a while. I made some connections in here, man. Like James right here. He started coming around right when I did, right? He got a hold of things. And the beautiful thing about relapse is that you leave, some people don't. And you've got some familiar faces standing here. And so, you know, I went to, I think it was including outpatient psych wards and inpatients, 7 rehabs in like 18 months or some shit like that. Every time I came back out, James was standing there, this dude John was standing there, this dude Irwin was standing there, these familiar faces, right? And these were straight junkies, you know, people whose lives I thought were more fucked up than mine. And, you know, they started getting girlfriends and cars and families and, you know, shit that I never thought I would have. And every time I got out, I was like, "Why the fuck are they so lucky?" I was mad, you know. The reality is they were putting in the work it takes, and I wasn't. Every time I get out of rehab, I'd chase some girls, I'd fucking go to a meeting, show up 15 minutes late, smoke a cigarette at halftime, leave halfway through, whatever the fucking story was, but I didn't give it a chance. You know, I tried step work, but I wasn't willing to finish a step, right? I didn't want anyone to see my shit, because in my mind, I'm the worst addict in the world. The reality is, I'm nowhere close to it. But in my mind, I'm like, "Nah, if they see this shit, man, they're going to turn me in for something I'm not even going to get arrested for." And, yeah, man, so I kept in and out, in and out, in and out, and my story ends with me sitting out back of my parents' house. They let me back in again. You know, I was the best manipulator of my mom ever. I destroyed that woman's serenity for years. And she let me back in one more time, and my brother collects and sells guns for a living. And so I got his rifle. And I went out back and I sat there with it in my mouth for about 20 minutes and I couldn't do it. And you know, the fucked up part is it wasn't that I didn't want to die. It wasn't that I was like, you know, I was worried about my family. I didn't give a shit. It was the fact that I was worried that that bullet wouldn't hit the right spot in my brain and I would end up a paraplegic and I wouldn't be able to use it anymore. And so I sat there, fucked up in my backyard for 20 minutes with a rifle in my mouth, finally decided that I had to do something. And so I took that rifle and I thought I was going to shoot myself in the arm, right? To go to the hospital. I'd tell them someone shot me. I don't know, man. I was fucking out of my mind. I'd tell them someone shot me. They'd give me some pain meds, you know, do something. They give me something. And I took that rifle. And it's a big-ass rifle. I'm sitting there trying to balance the bitch on my arm. I slip as I pull the trigger, and I blow a chunk off the top of my arm. And then I'm just sitting there looking fucking stupid. And I didn't know what to do, man. I didn't know what to do. You know, I wanted to die, but I knew there was a better way of life. And I was fucked up in the head, man. And so, you know, a couple hours after that, I got caught up for something or another, doing something wrong in my mom's house, and she threw me out again. Middle of winter, February, it was February 4th. My birthday's the 3rd. I had just turned 21. You know, I'm sleeping in the woods again. You know, I'm laying out there. It's fucking snowing. My hair's frozen fucking solid by the time I wake up. And I remember sitting there thinking, like, I'm a 21-year-old kid from Montgomery County. Like, I have the world at my hands. I have some of the best fucking schools in the world. Free to me. And I'm sitting here living in the fucking woods. No high school diploma. No friends. No one I can call aside from drug dealers. And fucking, the funniest part is half a carton of cigarettes and no lighter. Fucking. That was the worst part. Yeah. You know, I couldn't deal with it, man. I'm sitting there with packs and packs of cigarettes and couldn't fucking smoke. So I remember I reached out to this dude who I used to do what I called enforcing for. I'd go hustle people who owed him money, go shake them up. And I called him. It was like fucking 6:30 in the morning, right? And I'm like, look, dude, I got to go do something. I need to get that. And that meant to go get his gun from him. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like, you know, I sounded crazy, I'm sure. I was a nut job. So, you know, I'll forever be grateful for this dude, man, because he was strung out as me, but he thought for some reason that he needed to call my dad. And he called my dad, and my dad marched his fat ass out in the woods behind his house, because I wasn't going far. I was in the attic who was going to a bando's in Baltimore to spend the night, man. I was right out behind my parents' house, sleeping in the woods, waiting for a way back in. You know, I see those cars leave. I know every way into that fucking house. I crawl through a fucking crawl space, a window, whatever I got to do to get back in there and steal whatever the fuck they have. And so he called my dad, and my dad marched back there and pulled me out of the woods and talked to me for a minute and figured out that I was trying to kill myself. And one last, like, I cried wolf one last time, man. I was like, I can't do it. I don't want to be here anymore. And, you know, my dad took me up to my front porch. My mom opened the door with a baseball bat and said, if you step foot in this house, I love you, but I'll kill you. You're not welcome. And so I finally convinced my dad to take me to the psych ward one last time, man. And I remember I got in there, right? And someone pissed me off for some reason. I was a little angry back then. Someone pissed me off, and I went after someone, and they said, dude, you can't do that in here. We got a place for you in here, right? And they locked me in what they call the quiet room. This is a room with... It's not the padded room. I actually wish it was. That would have been a cooler story. This is just a fucking cinder block room with a fucking piece of sheet, basically, on the fucking ground, bars on the window, and no handle on my side of the door. And I'm claustrophobic, man. They would go to close that door. I'm like, please don't close that fucking door, man. Please don't close... They're like, all right, if you act right, we'll leave it cracked so you can have a little light in there. And of course, 10 minutes into me being in there, I was like, fuck you, motherfucker! And they closed the door. They closed the door. And I sat in there for every bit of 24 hours thinking. No one to talk to, just detoxing, man. They'd open the door every 6 hours, give me my fucking meds, and that was that. And I remember once again being like, what the fuck am I doing, man? And I knew NA at this point. I'd been coming around for a year and a half. You know, I knew the message. I knew that people could get this. I saw people who were just as bad as me clean and happy. And I wasn't willing to do it for some reason. So the minute they let me out of there, I sprinted to the fucking payphone. I called my sponsor. And I said, what the fuck do I do, man? I want to die. I need help. And he said, you know everything by now, man. You've been to the meetings. You've shared the good shares. You've shared the bad shares. You've been nuts in meetings. You've been around long enough where you know what to fucking do. Do it. And they sent me, you know, they sent me to another rehab or whatever. And from there, I decided it was time to take suggestions. You know, I went to and this isn't endorsing by any means. This is my story. And I went to a halfway house-like thing, Oxford House from there. And I stayed there for a year and a half. Every month, I call my sponsor or my network or someone and try to convince them it was a good idea for me to leave that place. You know, I'm good now. I got a job, man. I can go home. It's fine. Every time they'd be like, nah, you should probably sit on your fucking hands. And that's what I did. I was broken. I was ready to take this any way I could, man. And I wasn't perfect by any means. You know, I didn't listen to don't get in a relationship. I didn't do everything right. I still had some old people in my lives or life. And, like, you know, I suffered the spiritual consequences from that. I'm glad I didn't use, but I suffered from it. And finally, I got about a year and a half clean. I got a call from this dude. When I walked in the rooms, right, this dude had 3 years clean and was my age that I am now. And that was mind-boggling to me. I had never seen no shit like that. Someone who looked like me, you know, fucking just, he was an addict. And he had 3 years clean, had a fiance, had a fucking life, you know. And year and a half down the road from when I met him, he called me and asked me to move into his house with him. And, you know, I called my sponsor. I was like, I think it's time. He was like, it is. I moved into a house with a bunch of dudes who I had met in these rooms who were working on something. And that's my story. That's what's kept me here, man, is the fact that I surround myself with people who want this fucking thing. You know, I'll help the newcomer. I'll help the struggling addict. I'll help the dude who doesn't want this. But to a point, man, because it's not on my head if they walk out that fucking door. At the end of the day, all I got is me. I'll hold you up as long as I can, but if you're leaving, you're fucking leaving. Because I left. No one could stop me. And, I moved into that house. Same thing, man. Network, step work, fucking meetings, this convention every year, fucking shit like that. And, you know, I've gone through some shit in recovery, and I'm here to say you can stay clean through fucking anything. You know, I'm, right now is probably the hardest time I've had in recovery since I got clean. I'm going through more shit than I foresaw me being able to put up with without fucking blowing my head off or using. You know, I'm going through a breakup right now. I was with a girl for 2.5 years. I still love her dearly, and it just isn't working. It's not someone cheated. It's not a big fight that ended shit. It's the fact that we're both in recovery. We know where our lives are going, and it's not working right now. And instead of butting heads and ruining each other's lives, we're taking a step back, and, you know, it's done for now at least. And I need to accept that. I need to walk with my head held high. My mom just got diagnosed with cancer 3 weeks ago. And at first it looked all right. It looked like she was going to be fine. It doesn't so much anymore. Every day it's worse news. You know, my dad just got out of the fucking ICU. His pacemaker crapped out. He's fine now. You know, but who knows for how much longer. He's a dope fiend cokehead who's 65 years old. Who knows if he's clean or not. And, you know, I live in a house where the girl moved out, so she took the cable, she took the internet, she took the cat, which I never thought I'd fucking care about a cat, but I do for some reason. And I'm sitting in this fucking house alone every night. You know, I don't know what to do aside from lean on my network, man. And the beautiful thing is, the day she moved out, right, I come home thinking she was already gone. She's still there moving. It was painful, man. I wanted to get high. I wanted to get high. 5 years and some odd months clean, I wanted to use. And without even needing to tell someone that, I had friends who were already on their way to my house. I had people who came there and literally sat me down and said, you just basically just chill. We're going to cook you dinner. We're going to do the dishes afterwards. we're going to bring you a fucking boatload of movies about this big because you don't have nothing to do in your fucking house anymore, and we're going to hold you up. And that's what they've been doing, man. And that's what I would do for any of them. And that's what this program's based on, man. Because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the people in these rooms. The meetings are great. The step work is how I change me. But the people are why, personally, I stay. Because I never had a real friend. I never had a real family. I had fucked up anything you could grab, you know. And mostly at my own hands. I'm not a victim by any means. But the reality is my using and childhood and all that, I surrounded myself with people who didn't give a shit about me. And now I have people who give more of a shit about me than I give about myself. And, I'm living a life I never thought I would fucking live, man. You know, my plan was to be dead by next year, my entire life. I wanted to be that cool kid who joined the 27 Club because I'm a fucking loser and think about that type of shit. But, the reality is like, although I'm going through a lot, and I've shared at meetings in my area that I'm not doing too well mentally. You know, I'm off. I stopped taking my medication. I'm fucking up. I am. But I don't want to die today. For the first time in my life, I don't want to put a gun in my mouth. And that's something that I never thought I'd feel. From 10 years up, I wanted to kill myself. And the reality is today I have a life that I don't feel like leaving. You know, I don't feel like changing a damn thing. And I have an acceptance that I never thought I'd have, man. You know, I came to this convention, right, my first year. Yeah, first year that I came here clean. Because the first time I came here, I used. We'll backtrack for a second. I came down here, right, 7 years ago with my using addict father and using addict best friend and decided it would be a good idea to get high at the convention. And,
sweet.
I managed to get thrown out of the marathon meeting in Castle in the Sand for doing blow under their little table that they put the coffee on. I got pulled out of the fucking main speaker for heckling, telling everyone he was full of shit. And then I fell out in the go-go. I overdosed in the go-go and fell out, and they literally dragged me out front. And that's just the type of addict I am, man. I don't give a fuck where I am or who you are. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so I came here the year after that, right, clean. And, you know, I didn't act right. I was going through something with a girl, and I let her know how I felt right in front of Castle in the Sand when a meeting let out. Today, the level of acceptance I have, I'm not going to say one bad thing about my ex. I don't want anyone, you know, the whole NA, NNA, they choose sides over everything, man. There's a breakup in NA or a fight or an argument. Everyone's got a piece to put in on it, and everyone's like, oh, you're right, or oh, you're right. The reality is that's the last thing in the world I fucking want. You know, I don't want there to be sides to this breakup. I don't want there to be shit like that. Because I accept the fact that we're two people heading in different directions, and that's that. And I never thought I'd be that dude. I'm the dude who controls shit in my own mind, at least. And the reality is, it's an illusion. I don't have control over anything. Only thing in my mind that I control is my direct action. You know, I don't control what other people do. There's no hope of that. I don't control what I fucking think. Weird thoughts will pop in my head all the time. Only thing I can do is decide what I'm going to act on and when. And the beautiful thing is I now have a pause button, right? Where when I feel something, I don't have to knee-jerk reaction that shit. You know, when someone pisses me off, I don't have to tell them what I think about them. And it's all due to step work, man. You know, I never thought I'd say that sitting down with an older dude at a table telling him all my life's woes and fucking, you know, telling him my life story would change me into a better man, but it did for some reason. I don't get it, but it works. And, you know, the sixth step is a hell of a thing, man. Before I did my sixth step, I was a jealous, insecure fucking child, man. I destroyed, personally, hands-on destroyed every relationship I've ever been in, out of jealousy. Every fucking other person that girl was talking to, I had a fucking problem with it. And, it was all my shit, man, right? Self-centered fear. I don't think I'm adequate enough to be with someone. I don't know why anyone likes me. My friends, you know, girlfriends, whatever it is, man. the reality is today I can say that for the last year and a half of that relationship that I was in, I didn't act out on a lick of jealousy. I still have the shortcoming of jealousy, right? I still experience that feeling. But the reality is, I don't have to release that anymore. You know, I came in here a kid who, I love fighting. I mean, if there's confrontation, I'm in it. I felt myself start to act out. I saw two dudes getting in each other's face out front of the convention. I literally said, I'm in. Just fucking kidding, but still, I feel myself doing it. I love it. I live off that shit. It's a good high. But the reality is that I can say with my head held high that I haven't gotten in a fist fight in 3.5 years. And that's the first time in my life since I was probably 7 years old. You know, the sixth step will change you into a man you never thought you would want to be. Or a woman. You know, but the reality is today I look back at who I was and I'm disgusted. You know, I can't imagine living that life for another minute. And I'm not perfect. I still act out. But the reality is, like I said, I have that pause button, right? So when I start to act out, I can hit it halfway through and stop myself. I don't know really what else to say at this point. So, you know, I'll leave you with what I try to leave everyone with. And that's, if you're new, this is your first convention, wait till the next year. Wait, come to the next year's convention. If you still fucking want to get high, go out. I don't give a shit. You know, the problem is that a lot of people in here will try to hold you in NA. If someone had held me down in NA, I might be out there dead. I need to experience my pain. All I'm asking is that you give yourself a shot. If you want to go back out and get high in a year, go right ahead, man. Because the reality is any of us are liable to go at any time. We're one bad decision away. But give yourself that chance, man. Get with a network. Do some step work. You know, find some people to give a shit about you. Because I know for me at least, and I'll only speak about me, I didn't care about myself when I came in. I needed someone who actually gave a shit. And if you give yourself that year and you don't like it, like I said, turn around, walk out the door. But I guarantee when you look at yourself in the mirror a year from now, you'll be a different person. You'll be able to lay your head most likely down on a pillow at night and accept who you are as a person. You know, I never thought I'd be okay with me. I never thought that my mom would be able to call me crying about her problems and that I would be able to stand up like a man and be there for her. This is a woman who I torment. You heard me. I said she wanted to kill me with a baseball bat. And now she calls me when she's going through something. You know, this thing is a gift, man. And not all of us get it. I just got news, literally, while we were sitting in the main speaker, that someone who I remotely know through the rooms overdosed and died back in our area. And that's how it is, man. Period. There's no big I's and little U's. You can go out tomorrow or I can. And if, let's say, once again, me and James walk out tomorrow, get high. He might die, I might die. There's no saying when you're going to go. And so please, man, please give yourself a chance. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.